They say Jesus was a prophet. Others say he was an angel created by God. But who do you say Jesus is? Yes, you may have heard of him, but do you really know him? Do you know beyond any doubt who Jesus is? Do you know what he came to do or what he came to accomplish? Do you know what he himself said? This is Jaime Siman, inviting you to join me on a journey through the pages of the Holy Scriptures to discover what God says in the Bible about Jesus. You will not only have a chance to hear about him, but more than that, if your heart is open, you will hear his voice. You will even get to know him personally today. Yes, today. Friends of our ministry, The Word for Latin America, will join me with special songs. Songs I trust will refresh and bless your soul. Let us not delay any further. Let's get started on our personal visit with Jesus. Two thousand years ago, the Son of God walked through the dusty roads of Judea and Galilee in the land of Israel. His name is Jesus. Hundreds of years before his coming to the world, Isaiah the prophet wrote, "The government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Wouldn't it be wonderful to meet someone who knows what to do in every circumstance? Someone who knows what is best for us every time? Someone called Wonderful Counselor? But Jesus is not only a Wonderful Counselor. The prophet also called him Mighty God. Isaiah the prophet clearly said that he who will visit lost mankind from heaven will be God himself, Mighty God, the creator of the universe.
Government shall be, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Mighty God, Eternal Father. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. For unto us a child is born, upon his shoulder the government shall be. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Mighty God, Eternal Father. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace.
Large and small, made of silver, brass, wood, clay, or even plastic, or just printed in paper, images are worshipped in many places and forms all over the world. Before representations of heavenly beings, to mice and cows, at the feet of statues of men and women, and thousands of other idols, many bow down their knees with great reverence in fearful adoration and hopeful expectation. Impressive or mystical as these images may be, they have eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear the prayers of their worshippers. They have a mouth but are unable to speak a word of counsel or comfort. They are helpless. They even have to be properly kept or guarded, otherwise they could be stolen or could fall and be broken or damaged by fire. While there are many false gods, there is only one true God who exists from eternity past, before time began. He is the creator and maker of all things. Inspired by God himself, Isaiah wrote, "This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one." As Jesus came to the world, John, a follower and apostle of Jesus, was among the many that got to see him, hear his words, and walk with him. John was able to hear Jesus' very own words, speak to him, eat with him. John got to know Jesus. And filled with unspeakable joy and great awe, the beloved disciple wrote, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you." John had the opportunity to personally confirm that Jesus was more than just a man. He was also the eternal life. God came into us in a body of flesh like ours to manifest the Father to us, to better relate to us, and to accomplish his great salvation. That is what John wrote. And his words have been miraculously preserved for 2,000 years, that the whole world may know that God loves us, that he has not left us alone or abandoned in hopeless darkness. No, God has visited us and brought us light and salvation. Christmas is celebrated throughout the world remembering this great historic event, that God came into our world. Unfortunately, even though many celebrate Christmas, very few know Jesus. Yes, they may have heard of him. They might even go to church on Sundays, but they don't really know him. They don't know his words. They don't really understand what he came to accomplish or have to receive his gift of peace and eternal life. John witnessed many of the miracles that Jesus did. He was also able to experience the great love that Jesus had for him and for the whole world. This beloved disciple saw when the only Son of God, who came from heaven, gave his life dying on a wooden cross under the hot sun of the Middle East, beaten and rejected out of his love for us. John was there. That sacrifice was a supreme proof of God's love. And John wrote about it that we will know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. perish but have eternal life.
Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. This means that He is the only Son of God who possesses the same divine nature of the Heavenly Father. Just as the Father is God, the Son is God. And John had no hesitation or fear in proclaiming it. In fact, John begins his gospel stating this fundamental truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The good news is that God did not come to the world in this occasion to judge the world. He did not come to punish us or to make us pay for our rebellion and wickedness. On the contrary, Jesus came to pay the penalty we owe for our sins. He came to show us the way to heaven. He came to open the door of heaven. He came to give us eternal life. In fact, Jesus Himself is the way, the door, the eternal life. John wrote that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Our sins condemned us, but God's love for us is so amazing that He sent His only Son to take a body like ours to die on a cross, taking our place in the punishment that we deserve for our sins. He did this so that we might experience peace with God and the peace of God. Isaiah said that the one coming to the world will be called Prince of Peace. Do you have peace in your heart? Many go after money, but money cannot purchase inner peace or a ticket to heaven. Money can purchase you a very comfortable bed, but not a peaceful sleep. You can use money to buy medicine, but not health. You can pay companionship with money, but not true love. You can purchase an expensive vacation in a tranquil and picturesque place, but you may remain troubled and restless in your inner being. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Do you know Him? Have you experienced His peace? The Son of God says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." The peace that Jesus gives does not depend on circumstances. It is a peace in the midst of your situation. It is a deep and sure inner peace, whether you are going through many trials and tribulations or through a calm period of your life. Have you ever experienced His peace? You cannot know and experience the peace of Jesus if you do not know and have Jesus in your life. Maybe you are going through a period of confusion. Maybe you are anxious and desperate. You don't see clearly. Life makes no sense to you. You see no way out of your situation. The scripture says, "There was the true light which, coming into the world, enlightens every man." Jesus is the light of the world. Do you know this light? Where there is light, there is no confusion. He who rejects Jesus rejects God's light and remains in darkness forever, for all eternity. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came into the world. The people of the land did not receive Him. From birth, He experienced hardships. Even at birth, there was no place for Him. There was no room in the local inn for the Son of God to be born. He had to be placed in a manger, a feeding trough for livestock. But friend, the same thing happens today. Many all over the world celebrate Christmas every year. They buy gifts for their children, for their wives, their husbands, friends. They even go to church that day, but they have not opened their hearts to the Son of God. They don't have room for Him in their lives. Is there room for the Son of God in your life? John wrote the following words: "He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Jesus desires to come into your heart. God wants to adopt you as His daughter, as His son. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Jesus wants to come into your life, but not to destroy you or to make your life miserable or to manipulate you as a puppet. No. Jesus desires to enter into your life to guide you as a shepherd guides his flock, like a loving father guides his child. Yes. Remember the words of Isaiah the prophet. Jesus is the eternal Father. What a wonderful thing is to have a perfect Father, one who guides you whenever you are lost and confused, a Father who guides you patiently and lovingly, a Father who is the eternal Father. My friend, only God is the eternal Father, and no enemy can harm us if we are in His hands, because He is God. What a wonderful news, you say. Jesus is love, He forgives my sins and gives me peace and light, but how can I receive Him? Friend, to receive Him, you must receive Him as Lord of your life. Yes, Jesus is King and you need Him to rule your life. You are not able to manage your own life. That is why it is a mess. Your unbridled passions are not good rulers. Even if you have worthy goals, you have no control of your life or on most of the people and circumstances around you. You also lack the knowledge and wisdom needed to truly succeed. It takes a humble heart to recognize this truth about ourselves. Jesus is the only one who is capable to properly guide your life, and He has the right to rule over you because He made you and purchased you with His own blood at the cross of Calvary. And He does not share His throne with Satan or with anyone else. No, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other, said Jesus. If you do not invite Jesus to rule and take over the direction of your life, He will not come in. Do not be deceived. Jesus is not a type of Santa Claus who gives us everything we ask Him for while we live our lives as we please. Jesus is not our slave either, someone who will come running at us at the snap of our fingers to fulfill our worldly pleasures and our selfish goals every time we call upon Him. No, my friend, Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. In one occasion He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Every man, every woman needs to repent of this sin, the sin of rebellion, the sin of going our own crooked ways. Isaiah wrote, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." Yes, my friend, we all are guilty of having left the straight path, guilty of having gone our own way, being our own bosses, walking on vanity rather away from the will of God. Entering through the doors of a church every morning to ask God for forgiveness in order to see His favor does not open the gates of heaven for me unless I have truly repented of my rebellious ways, opening the door of my heart to Jesus, welcoming Him as Lord, boss, and director of my life. He will not come in. I invite you to acknowledge your sin today and to receive Jesus. He desires to fill your life with blessings, eternal life, peace, and a real and sure hope. Paul the Apostle wrote, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." If you believe, God forgives your sins. He does it on account of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. Do you believe? Do you have this faith? No, I'm not talking about just believing that God exists, for the demons believe, yet they tremble. The question is, do you believe to the point of trusting in Jesus and His words? Are you ready and willing to place your life in His hands, under His direction and leadership? Many do not surrender their lives at the feet of Jesus because they let Satan deceive them. The devil wants us to believe that God is boring, that there is no joy around Him, that there is not life and excitement with Him. But Jesus says the opposite. He says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. It is Jesus, not the world or the devil, who give us real life, abundant, vibrant, everlasting life with no regrets. Have you experienced this abundant life? Do you have it?
To me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Not many will sacrifice their lives for others, much less for rotten people. And I tell you that our lives, my friend, in the light of a pure and holy God, look very dark and rotten. Yet Jesus died for us 2,000 years ago, because he loves us. But he did not remain in the tomb. He lives today. Yes, Jesus lives. He rose from the dead. This is a historical fact. Jesus had told his disciples many times that he had to die on a cross, but that he would rise on the third day. His apostles had the opportunity to see if what Jesus said would come to pass or not. They had the opportunity to find out whether Jesus was truly the Son of God or just a fake, an impostor, or a deceived religious fanatic. The New Testament tells us that when Jesus was captured, his apostles fled away. Many saw him being beaten, flogged, nailed to a cross, and then pierced on his side. They were very disheartened, utterly discouraged for 3 days. They lost their hope. They were not expecting him to rise. Oh, but on the third day, Jesus rose. The soldiers who were guarding the tomb fled terrified as an angel from heaven came and rolled their large stone away from the entrance so people could see the empty tomb and understand that Jesus rose from the dead. In the evening, Jesus appeared to his disciples. They were gathered inside closed doors for fear of the Jews. They rejoiced and understood that Jesus was all that he claimed to be, the true and only Son of God, with total power over Satan, the world, and death. They understood that Jesus conquered sin and death, that we might live forever with him in heaven. Thomas, one of the 12 apostles, was not in the first encounter with the resurrected Christ. When the disciples told him what happened, Thomas refused to believe, saying that he would not believe unless he could put his fingers where the nails pierced Jesus' hands and touch the very side where a spear had penetrated his heart. The scripture tells us that after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands. And reach here your hand and put it in my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord, my God." My friend, Thomas worshiped Jesus as his Lord and his God. Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believe." There are those who teach that Jesus is an angel created by God. Not understanding how Jesus can be God, they reject what the Bible says. But friend, Jesus is God in the flesh. That is why his disciples worship him. Paul the apostle, that was sent to the non-Jewish people of his day, exhorted us, saying, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Maybe you don't understand. If the Father is God, how could Jesus be God? And how can the Holy Spirit be God too? There is only one true God. Well, there are many things our limited minds cannot grasp. But we don't reject something just because we don't comprehend it. You may not understand how a very heavy machine with wings can fly. Yet you see airplanes flying all the time. You may not understand the laws of aerodynamics, but you don't reject the fact that airplanes fly just because you don't understand the science behind it. In the same manner, we know there is only one true God. And we also know by biblical revelation that Jesus is God, the true God, not a false God. Our minds may not comprehend this truth, but we must accept it because the Bible teaches it. While every human being is only one person, God exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each person having a divine nature, existing from eternity past, the three in perfect unity. We accept it by faith, trusting God's own revelation of his nature given in the Bible. The person that rejects the Word of God just because he does not comprehend it is rejecting it at the expense of his own soul. Every man needs a meek disposition before God, acknowledging that our minds are limited. God is infinitely greater than our brains. In Proverbs, the Spirit says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Who will you trust for your eternal salvation? Your limited understanding, or God and his word?" Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Isaiah wrote, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Let the light of God into your heart. Receive the witness of the Holy Spirit. Then you will fall at Jesus' feet and cry, "My Lord and my God," just like Thomas, filled with gratitude, peace, joy, and the abundant eternal life he offers. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment but has passed out of death into life." Today you can enter into the kingdom of God. Today you can receive eternal life. Yes, even today you can pass from death to life. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." You are not physically dead, since you can hear these words, but you may be spiritually dead, separated from God. Maybe you are not sure that if you die today, you will enter heaven. Well, I have good news for you. If you receive Jesus, you will receive eternal life, and no one can take it away from you. Receive the Word of God in your heart today. Trust your life to Jesus. Ask Him forgiveness for having gone your own way, away from the straight path. Repentance is a must. It is necessary for you to decide from your heart to abandon sin, wickedness, and unrighteousness, acknowledging that it leads you to eternal condemnation. Jesus preached repentance. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness of sin. In the Gospel of Mark, we read that when John the Baptist was put into prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the Gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Gospel." Maybe you say, "It is too soon. Let me consider it more." Yeah, maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow? My friend, let me read you a few words about tomorrow. Consider them. Meditate on them. Tomorrow? Some live worrying about tomorrow, unable to live today. Others live for tomorrow, what they ought to do today. Men to God say, "Tomorrow my ways I will change. Yes, my sinful ways I will forsake. But in the meantime, Lord, please bless me today." Tomorrow, you don't know what your life will bring tomorrow. You are just a mist, briefly appearing, in a moment disappearing. Tomorrow, Pharaoh said, but his heart was hardened. Yes, tomorrow arrives as his portion, and with it, great and sudden destruction. Do not say, "Tomorrow all wrongdoing I will forsake." Do it today, my friend. Do it for your own sake. Does the world entangle you like a spider's web its prey? The trap has been set for you. Flee while you may. Escape eternal damnation. Do it today. Don't wait for tomorrow. Today is the day. Today is the day of your salvation. God invites you to come to Jesus today. He will not turn you away. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." There are many roads in this life, but not all of them takes you to heaven, my friend. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Friend, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has come in seeking his wandering lambs. Come to him.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, give them eternal life. And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me the Father are one. I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. To snatch them out of the Father's hand.
Do you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd seeking his wounded, confused, and lost little lamb? That lamb is you, and he's looking for you, my friend. Come to him. Maybe you say, I am unworthy. I am sinful. There is no remedy for me. Well, you are right. We are all sinful. But there is remedy for you and for me. There is healing waiting for you. That healing is found in Jesus. And the blood that he shed for you and me, it cleanses us from all sin. And he gives us his Spirit to change us and to help us live a life pleasing to God. We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds we were healed. Yes, my friend, there is power in the blood of Jesus, power to wipe out all our sins, past, present, and future. And the Holy Spirit has power to change us, and he will make you a new person if you come to Jesus and invite him into your life. Will you receive Jesus this very moment? Why not? He's at the door knocking. Come to him. He's calling you. Pray with me. Please repeat the words I'm going to say. No, they're not a magic formula, but they represent the condition of the heart that Jesus requires before he can enter into your life. If you do, Jesus will enter and fill you with his forgiveness, divine love, and with his eternal life. Repeat these words with me. Tell them to God. Dear God, I ask you forgiveness for my sins. I thank you for having sent your Son to die on a cross for me. I put my trust in Jesus and the salvation he obtained for me at the cross of Calvary. I believe that his precious blood is able to clean my heart. I also believe that Jesus rose from the dead and now lives. And today I trust him as my Savior and receive him as my Lord and my God. Today I put my trust in you, not in me, not on my good deeds, but totally on the redeeming work you did at Calvary. Dear God, please give me your Holy Spirit to guide me, to give me understanding of your word, to give me love to give others, to give me power to obey you and reject sin. Please guide me to a fellowship of brothers and sisters where I can know you better and learn your word and experience your love and your light. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have prayed with a sincere heart, God has heard you. You have become a child of God. He has adopted you into his family and given you eternal life. This I can assure you on account of the word of God who never lies. The Bible says that the angels in heaven are rejoicing because of your decision, my friend.
See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we shall be called children of God. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we shall be called children of God. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we shall be called children of God. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we shall be called children of God. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. Because we will see him just as he is.
Today you have received eternal life. Like a newborn baby born in the family of God, you need the love and care of the family of God. You also need the nourishment of the Word of God to grow spiritually healthy. Seek a fellowship of believers where the Word of God is taught without distortion or corruption. Get a good Bible. There are several good translations in the English language, including the New King James Version, the New American Standard Bible, and the New International Version, among many others. Read it every day for the spiritual nourishment that your soul needs. Meditate on the Scriptures. This is very important, to know God and to know His will. Then obey it, walking in His love and light by the power of the Holy Spirit, receiving His encouragement, direction, and correction. Prayer is very important too. Prayer is talking to God like a son talks with his dad, anytime, anywhere. Talk with him all the time when you're happy, when you're sad. Ask him to meet your needs. Ask him to reveal his will to you, because that is truly the best for you. You can come to the Father in the name of Jesus. He will listen to you. You also need to listen to him as he speaks to you through his word and through his spirit. With thanksgiving, remember what the Son of God has done for us. You have the privilege to tell others of His wonderful salvation and to live a godly life for Him. You are now a child of the light. Walk therefore in the light. Have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. The Holy Spirit will be shaping you into the character of Jesus. It is His work. Let Him mold you and shape you through the circumstances of life. God will do it like the potter shapes the clay. Since we are still imperfect in the molding process, we sometimes may stumble and fall. Ask God to forgive you. He will. Remember, we are accepted by God as long as we remain in Jesus. We are accepted on account of Jesus' sacrifice, not because of our own righteousness or good deeds. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, says the Word of God.
Thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I'll sing praises to you among the nations. I'll give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I'll sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness great to the heavens, and your truth to the clouds. For your loving kindness great to the heavens, and your truth. Give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I'll sing praises to you among the nations. I'll give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I'll sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness great to the heavens, and your truth to the clouds. For your loving kindness great to the heavens, and your truth to the clouds.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hands of the adversary. And now, one final consideration. In the book of Acts in the New Testament, we read that Jesus, before ascending to heaven, said to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." Jesus said that we will be his witnesses. Yes, Jesus' witnesses. We recognize that Jehovah is the name through which God reveals himself in the Old Testament, but we also acknowledge that God reveals himself in the New Testament through the person of Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, we read that even the angels worship Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is greater than any angel, far superior to them all. He is the eternal Son of God. And the name of Jesus is great and powerful, my friend. In fact, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Did you know that the name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation? In the Old Testament, we find the name Jehovah. In the New Testament, the same name is found in the name Jesus. Isaiah wrote, "Truly you are a God who hides himself, O God of Israel, Savior." While God may hide himself in the humanity of Jesus, he reveals himself in the person and words of his Son. He is the perfect and exact representation of the Father. If you open the eyes of your heart, and if you open your ears to the voice of the Spirit, you will be filled with awe as you discover the Son of God and worship him. By this same Spirit, you can also be a Jesus witness to the glory of God. These are the true witnesses that God approves, my friend. God bless you and shine for his glory. To obtain a copy of this recording, you may contact the Word for Latin America, P.O. Box 1002, Orange, California 92856, telephone 714-285-1190. You may also download it free of charge from our website, www.elvela.com. Elvela is spelled E-L-V-E-L-A. Again, www.elvela.com. God bless you.